Saturday night, that means it's time for the Don Doty Show.
The wait all week long is finally over. Get Don Tony's perspective on current affairs in the world of pro wrestling and much more. The Don Tony Show.
And now, your host, the man, the legend, Don Tony.
How's everybody going? It's Saturday, April 15th, 2023. We haven't done one of these in a while. Last week was vacation. Then we had WrestleMania the week prior. Getting back into the swing of things. And wrestling has a lot of buzz going on. A lot of news, a lot of rumors, and a lot of clickbait, which we will hopefully today separate, sift, and discuss. And some of it is great. Don't get me wrong. Some of the news that we have to discuss is pretty cool. Some of it is a little bit ridiculous. Some of it is just based on emotion, obviously. As you saw in the thumbnail preview for today, you know, obviously CM Punk has been the biggest buzz the last couple of days. And in hindsight, it's kind of funny. You know, going back to the media scrum and the brawl that happened, and you remember how many people were totally against CM Punk, totally unprofessional, totally unprofessional. And I remember I posted a tweet at that time. I said, sooner or later, quite a few of those detractors are going to realize that, you know, maybe it wasn't the best way to do it. But CM Punk was right. You know, CM Punk, one of his catchphrases, and I think it was much more than a catchphrase back in the day, was the voice of the voiceless. And CM Punk, without question, is the voice of many in AEW who are voiceless, and that continues to this day. You see Thunder Rosa recently coming out and saying that she apologized to the locker room, and this was not done in the last day or two. This was done a while back, and yet, if you follow social media a little bit closely, you know, you still see the jabs still being made towards Thunder Rosa, and when fans do it and do it well, you even see some wrestlers retweeting it, liking it, and you realize that, you know, these are grown adults, and a lot of them are set in their ways, and there's nothing that's going to change it, but, you know, it is pretty wild to see what's going on with the CM Punk situation, and we'll discuss it. You know, I want to remind everyone once again, we had a great discussion earlier in the week about Wembley Stadium and you know, the fact that it, you know, they could draw up to 90,000 fans. I do not accept 30% as a success, but let's also remember that, you know, the problem with a lot of news journalists, other than stupidity, I mean, you know, when you have longtime journalists, I don't think it's stupidity anymore. I think it's either intentional clickbaiting or they just don't give a shit, to be honest. Plus, fans, and it is another thing, too. It's the opposite, where they're so excited about something that they turn it into news. And it's not news. It's their excitement. Mercedes Moné debuting in AEW, where people said she's backstage. Up until that night, they that's because they wanted it. They had no proof that anything was ever happening, but they wanted it, and they convinced themselves to the point that it was happening. And they, you live with the sword, you die with the sword. But I saw something today that I thought it was just so misguided and stupid. And I want to show you this, and this kind of breaks my heart, because Steve Gerwick, my God, he used to have a hotline back about, I'd say 18 years ago, Steve Gerwick had a hotline. And we used to have some hotline wars back in the day. But I, you know, I always got along with Steve. And he posts this. Just for those on audio only, I'm going to read you the title. Ticket sales strong for AEW's Wembley Stadium debut. Now, tickets don't go on sale, I believe, until May 2nd. And that's the pre-sale. What this Matarazzo is bringing up is the sign-ups for the pre-sale code. And what these people are doing is They're looking at the fact that there's 30,000, 40,000, 50,000 signups to get the pre-sale code for AEW, and they're interpreting that number to ticket sales. It's right in front of you. I did not alter it. That's not a Photoshop job. Ticket sales strong. They haven't even gone on sale yet. What the fuck are you talking about? But as I remind you, and I said this on Wednesday, I signed up for the pre-sale. I'm not going to Wembley. I'm sure there's tons of scalpers that signed up for the pre-sale. I'm sure a lot of fans did, just to be part of something. I'm sure some of you out there signed up for the pre-sale, have no intentions on going or even buying tickets. You know, so just because that number's out there doesn't mean anything. And I'll give you a good example. Didn't they do that with Clash at the Castle? And when tickets actually went on sale, it was like one-third of what the registrations were with the pre-sale. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but you got to be very careful, you know, because people will take emotion and turn it into news. And I'm going to give you one right now. And it has to do with LA Knight. And it's actually two discussions. One you'll like. One is clickbait, emotion, trying to be twisted as news. Now, last night on SmackDown, LA Knight lost to Xavier Woods. Great match. Basically, LA Knight, you know, got fed to him. You know, his little bit of cheating, pulling the tights, and Xavier Woods does it back. If you follow closely, WWE does that finish a lot more than you realize. We just don't pick up on it sometimes. And yes, a lot of people online yesterday frustrated once again. What are they doing with LA Knight? They didn't do nothing with WrestleMania. They follow WrestleMania. This is two SmackDowns after WrestleMania. And what the hell are they doing with LA Knight? Why did they keep jobbing him out? Okay. Now, let's give you the rumor killer first. Then we'll get into the good news. The rumor killer, there's a Twitter account, WRKD Wrestling. Twitter. And on their Twitter account, they are saying that WWE Creative, the discussion behind the scenes is that the front runner to win Money in the Bank this year is none other than L.A. Knight. Now, as I've said to you before, who do you think in WWE Creative or WWE Management that these people are talking to? You think they're talking to Bruce? You think they're talking to Triple H? You think they're talking to Vince? You think they're talking? No. What that is pushing the narrative that LA Knight, you know, like everybody wants it, because what did everybody do yesterday? They ran with that. WRK reports that he's being elevated and going to win Money in the Bank, blah, 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 blah. That is fans wanting LA Knight to go further. Plus, when you get the briefcase, does anybody right now think that LA Knight is going to become world heavyweight champion anytime soon? Yes, he could have that briefcase and hold it onto it for a year. Absolutely. But that is just fan emotion being used to report news. You want something to happen? Remember the Charlotte Rhea Ripley nonsense? The reverse psychology some people were doing, talking about how they were going to close night one because of politics and because there hasn't been a one. It was never, ever discussed. Never, ever discussed. But some people out there who insist on 50-50 everything, you know, had to post it as news. It was never closing WrestleMania Night 1. We said it all along. And I'm not the only one. A few other shows out there also said it. There's no way. Even though Charlotte and Rhea Ripley ended up being my favorite match of Night 1 of WrestleMania, it still does not close WrestleMania, because there was only one match to close it out, and that was Owens and Zayn versus the Usos. By the way, in 2 weeks, we're getting that rematch. Now, I tell you, I thought of a storyline twist. It's not news, just something I was thinking about yesterday. You know, how many times in the past did Sami Zayn want a shot at the tag titles against the Usos and the Usos said no? Or Kevin Owens and the Usos said no? Or any heel, with the exception of Gunther. Gunther was always like, bring it, bring it. But how many times do you see someone wanting a title shot and the champion says no? Now, in 2 weeks, which is also going to be, by the way, the beginning of the draft, and we'll get into the good news with LA Knight in a second. I didn't forget about you. In 2 weeks, we're going to start the draft. It's going to begin on SmackDown, the 28th of April, and it's going to conclude on Raw, which I believe will be May 1st. Now, that same night on SmackDown, the Usos are going to be getting another shot at the titles against Owens and Zayn. They're going to fail, obviously. Trust me. I mean, WWE does whatever they decide they want to do, but they even know that taking the titles off of Owens and Zayn this early would be kind of, you know, disastrous. But going further, you know, you could play Cody Rhodes into this scenario where the Usos down the line want another shot at the titles, and KO and Sami Zayn say, no, you got your rematch, you lost. And then you could play a little bit of chess where, all right, you want tag team title shot? Cody gets a rematch against Roman Reigns. Simple as that. Or the opposite. Cody wants the rematch with Roman Reigns, and Roman says no, and then the Usos want a rematch against KO and Sami Zayn, and they say no, and, you know, okay, give them the shot, you get the shot. Give him the shot, they get the shot. So that's something you could kind of play into the future. You could play that into the future. Daniel Craigle says, any Brandon Cutlet news? Yeah, he's a scumbag. No, I don't mean that like literally. He's one of those that feeds bullshit to the elite media. He's one of those that does not like CM Punk at all. He will retweet a lot of, tweets that, you know, not fixing the problem. And he's not the only one. He's not a bad wrestler, but unfortunately the politics get in the way. And listen, the work that he does behind the scenes is definitely, you're interrupting my coffee. The work he does behind the scenes is, you know, acknowledged. And he does do a lot behind the scenes, but he also knows that, you know, if he loses that opportunity, who else is going to give him that kind of a position? It's not going to happen. And when he got his ass kicked on Wednesday, tell me, in Brandon Cutler's last 2 years on TV, why I'm supposed to, like, look at him as a baby face. I want that guy sliced, diced, chopped, grated, filleted, you know, ground, you know, and you know what? You could throw him into a coffee grinder. Not a fan of Brandon Cutler. All right. But you know what? He's not the only one. Yeah, we'll get into this little tweet from Jericho a little bit later. All right. So in 2 weeks, we got the draft, and we got the Usos getting a rematch. And, you know, we go back to LA Knight now. You look at LA Knight, let's just say he wins Money in the Bank briefcase, which we don't even know when exactly that match would go down, the Money in the Bank ladder match. Is he going to become world heavyweight champion anytime soon? I mean, a lot of people think that it's Cody next in line, and I agree with that. And then a lot of people think if those titles end up getting divided up, it's probably going to end up with Gunther, which I am 100% behind as well. But when would that happen? You know, so this is just fans wanting LA Knight to get an opportunity, to get a big opportunity, to get a showcase. You know, you think back at Austin Theory winning the briefcase, and you remember what happened with the briefcase? We had some great conversations about it. The same thing that happened to Austin Theory happened to Carmella. Austin Theory went 2-32, I believe, in his record, or 3-32. Yes, this is predetermined, but still, the perception on TV that Austin Theory was losing, being jobbed out, he was a Vince guy, and he's not a Triple H guy, and then he lost the briefcase, and misguided folk online are like, oh, that was the worst thing you could have done. No, that was the best thing you could have done. We said it that night, he lost the briefcase. That's the best thing, and look what happened. Ever since he dropped that brief, everything has been on the rise. So you give LA Knight the briefcase and you look at recent history, and if it follows the trend of Austin Theory, he may end up getting even more futile in the ring. So I don't need a briefcase to give LA Knight a push, but I will tell you this. If you look at the synopsis, I actually put it as the first comment in tonight's synopsis. Yes, pun intended, better nights ahead. LA Knight's latest run of futility is about to come to the end. It's about to come to an end. Even though he lost to Xavier Woods yesterday, even though he had nothing for WrestleMania, just think about that for a minute. They're in LA. You have someone whose name is LA, and the catchphrase is there. How could you have a WrestleMania in LA without LA Knight? And they don't do it. You lost that opportunity. I mean, even if, listen, I have brought this up before. The more LA Knight loses, the more fans crave him winning more. They crave the push even more. He's getting bigger pops. WWE isn't stupid. They are noticing that. He's losing. Fans think that WWE management is treating LA Knight like shit. They are supporting him even more. So even though he is losing all these matches, he's getting more and more and more support. But that futility is about to come to an end. That doesn't mean that LA Knight is not going to lose another match. But even his interaction with Rey Mysterio, hey, you know, and Rey punches him in the face. You know, LA Knight has had a lot of futility lately. Hold out hope. In the very, very near future, you're going to see it start turning around for LA Knight. Even if he does end up with a briefcase, even if he does end up with something else. But as of right now, there is nothing to the truth that LA Knight is the favorite for WWE Creative to win Money in the Bank. Those are fans who want him to win Money in the Bank, trying to interpret it as news. Plain and simple. Just like a lot of the CM Punk stuff. There's a lot of negative emotion towards CM Punk. So that negative emotion is being reported as news. And it's just wacky. It's plain wacky what they're talking about with CM Punk. But LA Knight, don't worry, everyone. His futility is about to come to an end. All right, let's get into two more rumor killers. One I shouldn't even have to bring up, but we still got to discuss it. This, once again, is our fans trying to plant this seed that Edge, once his contract is up with WWE and he retires, he's going to pull a Ric Flair. Like Ric Flair showed up on Impact Wrestling, that Edge will show up on AEW because Edge. And it was funny because you and I talked about this for like 5 weeks. 5 weeks about Christian. What's his contractual status? How much time did they add on to his deal because of injury? Will he be out of AEW before the end of 2023? Will we see Christian and Edge one more time? Because it's no secret. Edge wants Christian as part of his retirement, whether it's on the opposite side of the ring or together in the ring. We've talked about that for 5 or 6 weeks. Now, all of a sudden, because Christian Cage pops up on Dynamite with Luchasaurus, now fans realize, oh, he is still part of AEW. So now you get all these people that are saying, oh, Edge would not object going to AEW once his contract expires, or WWE management would be surprised if Edge were to go to AEW. Who in WWE management do you think these people talk to? They probably talk to a couple of wrestlers in WWE. Hey, you know, what do you think? You think Edge would go to AEW? You know, I'd be surprised. Nah, he's WWE. And suddenly that's news? It's not news. But there's enough people out there, and they're using the magic word speculation. Speculation is another word that it's not true, but, you know, we're going to throw it out there that it's speculation. Speculate. What is this, Inspect the Gadget, like the thumbnail? There's speculation. There's speculation that Edge would like to go to AEW. If Christian cannot get back to WWE, he would like to go to AEW and do something with Christian and possibly one more feud with the Hardys, because now Jeff Hardy returned. You see how it fits like a glove? Nothing was said about Christian and Edge for 5 weeks. We brought it up. How come nobody's talking about Christian's status in AEW? You know, could, when is his contract up? How much time they had? Nobody bothered to get those answers. Christian was not mentioned once. Suddenly, Christian pops up back on TV. Jeff Hardy makes his AEW return, and now all of a sudden the floodgates open. Who? Oh, Matt Hardy, Jeff Hardy, Christian. There's one piece that seems to be missing from this element. Oh, speculation is that Edge would consider going to AEW for the right money to finish up his career with Christian and either, you know, team or feud and possibly do something with the Hardys. It's not news, everyone. One more rumor killer. And this one, this is ridiculous. It's just, it's absolutely ridiculous. All right, have you seen this? Have you seen this flowing? Now, he doesn't follow me. I think he follows Fightful or Sean Ross Sapp. He's the one that posted the screenshot. I copied it from him. Does not follow me. Drew McIntyre. Okay. Let's sum it up. About a week ago, Drew McIntyre was supposed to be on SmackDown. He did not appear. Drew McIntyre was supposed to do an autograph signing. He did not show. Immediately, yes, I was on vacation, but I still monitor to see what's going on. Anybody die? You know, not saying that to be morbid, but, you know, anything, you know, surprises. Even on vacation, I monitor. And I watched person after person after person, you know, running, doing podcasts, blogs, all this stuff. Drew McIntyre, you know, did no show. Did he walk out and creative differences? It's all a lie, everybody. It's all a lie. Drew McIntyre was ill. And because he was ill, he was taken off of last week's SmackDown. Now with the draft coming up in 2 weeks, they have decided to hold off some storylines, some feuds, and some pushes on television because of the draft. There's a lot of rumors that Fight Night might be going to Raw. There's rumors that Drew McIntyre might be on his way back to Raw. You know, so the thing is that some people, you know, they're keeping off of TV for 2 weeks because they want to make it come off more as a surprise. That's why you have not even seen the NXT influence yet. You know, when Triple H teased the draft that it's going to change the game, you know, I didn't really read too much into that. You know, if you pay attention to WWE, their commentary, you know, AEW is not the only one that does it. WWE does it as well. This is the greatest match in the history of Raw. This is the most important match in WrestleMania history. This is the greatest match ever on SmackDown. This is the biggest. And, you know, because you always want, you know, to give the perception that what is going on is the biggest ever. That's why even when they were talking about this yesterday on SmackDown, SummerSlam broke records, apparently. They sold more tickets already for SummerSlam or on the first day in than any time in history, which kind of boggles the mind because I remember the Attitude Era where tickets would sell out in 2 hours, 3 hours. But they're booking stadiums that have 50,000, 70,000, 80,000, 60,000. So when you book SummerSlam in the past at 20,000-seat building and it sells out in 2-3 hours, that's fucking awesome. But now you have an arena that seats 60,000 and you sell 25,000 tickets. Oh, that's the biggest selling ever in one day. So getting back to, you know, Drew McIntyre, you know, Drew McIntyre saw what went down last week, that people were clickbaiting that he is on his way out from WWE, that he is, his contract is up at the end of the year and he's not renegotiating a new one. Newsflash. Everything has to go through Endeavor right now. Even though the deal has not been finalized yet, any contractual moves, any signings, any deals has to be signed off by Endeavor. It is a courtesy. Like Kevin and I, and by the way, if you haven't checked it out yet, it is a must. Kevin and I, oop, that doesn't look good. This looks better. Kevin and I did a episode on Tuesday. It is on DonTony.com if you want to go check it out. I'm thinking about doing a special episode with Kev, not this coming week, but the following week, maybe a little draft preview, give our predictions or suggestions who should go where. But Drew McIntyre saw last week people clickbaiting, complete with the, like, you see that? You see that? They're like this. Like, and I'm looking at it, I'm like, but it's not even true. He saw last week, he was sick. They pulled him off of SmackDown, off of the autograph signing, so he doesn't get other people sick, so he could relax and get better. And then you got the draft coming up, and they're holding him out. So Drew sees all these people running with this shit. So what does he do yesterday? He blacks out his Twitter. He removes his pictures. He removes his WWE reference other than his screen name. And everybody, once again, go, look, you think I'm making it up? You got these people that are like this. Drew McIntyre is fucking with the internet wrestling community. Drew McIntyre is not renegotiating his contract right now because they're in the middle of a merger with Endeavor. And if WWE does work out a new deal, look at Logan Paul. Logan Paul proved that this hiring freeze deal was bullshit. And I know what somebody's going to say, well, he was already hired, so it wasn't necessarily part of the hiring freeze. Hiring freeze means you don't add any new contracts unless it's signed off by Endeavor. And Endeavor signed off on Logan Paul staying with the company. Absolutely. I wouldn't be surprised if Logan Paul, maybe they do something with UFC with Logan Paul. You might see some carryover with that. I'm telling you, I don't know how I would feel about it. But the thing is that as far as him and not willing to renegotiate, that's stupid. Because right now, new contracts and new signings and renewals and this and that. Look, some deals come to an end between now and when this Endeavor deal is signed. Obviously, you got to do something about it. But anything that goes on has to be signed off by Endeavor. You know, as we said on Tuesday, Kevin and I, if I have a house, I do an open house, and somebody's willing to buy the house, or they're willing to merge with me, you know, like, oh, we'll go halves, or whatever it is. And then, okay, we're going to do the closing. The closing's going to be in 2 months. I don't suddenly rip out my fucking yard and install a pool. Unless I talk to the person who I did business with and say, hey, you know, what do you think about a pool? You know, I'm not going to suddenly, like, change the flooring in my house, take the windows out, paint it a different color. You make a deal, you hold everything. And anything that you may have to do has to run through Endeavor. That's the facts. So Drew McIntyre doing this blackout thing, there's nothing controversial about it. The guy is just having fun with social media, getting attention, and playing off of last week that because he didn't show up on SmackDown, everybody immediately assumed, a lot of people, not everyone, but a lot of people assumed that, oh, fallout, creatively unhappy, Drew stuck in the mud. No, 2 weeks. And even if Drew McIntyre is absent for the draft in 2 weeks, they are going to play into something with TV. So that's all it is. So this idea online that, oh, he was pulled, contract fallouts and this and that. I know it's interesting. I know it's exciting. And I know it's water cooler talk. But it's just not true, just to say it bluntly. Okay, SmackDown yesterday, only 4 matches. That's been the trend lately. People haven't realized it. Xavier Woods over LA Knight. Talk about somebody who has been very futile lately. He's got a cool LWO shirt, and he's aligned with Rey Mysterio. go do a Google search and go check out Santos Escobar's win-loss record on SmackDown recently. Shocked nobody has picked up on it yet. Santos Escobar. If anybody, if people should be complaining, if you're complaining about LA Knight, you should be complaining about Santos Escobar. That guy, in my opinion, deserves a lot better. Santos Escobar, especially how he presents himself, you know, the history, the alliance with Rey. You know, I understand trying to help elevate Dominic. Yesterday, it's to add more to Damian Priest because in a match at Backlash with Bad Bunny in a tag match. That's why Santos was used the way he did. But, you know, just because there's a brawl at ringside and Zelina Vega does this beautiful move and you got Legado doing, you know, all this shit to Dominic and everyone else, in the end, Santos Escobar's shoulders are on the mat. That guy has lost a lot. And I'm shocked that people haven't taken notice of it. But yesterday, he loses to Damian Priest. The match at Backlash should be announced, I would think, next week. Seriously. You announce the match, and then you have, what, another week or two to hype it up? So that match at Backlash, the tag match, Bad Bunny and Rey versus Damian Priest and Dom should go down. I tell you, some people think that Bad Bunny and Damian Priest is a one-on-one. I absolutely disagree with that. Bad Bunny has done a great fucking job with his whatever he was given in the pro wrestling ring. But the idea that you want all the focus to be on him on a one-on-one match, this is not Logan Paul. And, you know, Bad Bunny is still very, very busy with his music career. So he cannot put in the amount of hours that Logan Paul has put in. You need someone else to pick up the slack and to minimize as much as possible with Bad Bunny. You have Bad Bunny, you know, sell a little bit, do a couple of spots, maybe even get the pin. But doing a one-on-one, if he ends up like a deer in headlights, which happens, it happened to Ronda Rousey in the biggest stage of them all. It happens to seasoned veterans. You need someone there to pick up the slack. That's why they added Charlotte Flair to the WrestleMania main event years ago. We talked about it. A lot of people hated it, but it was to cover up if there was an issue with Ronda. Then at least you have Becky and Charlotte fighting in that match instead of Becky just sitting there and twiddling her thumbs. You know, the man, you know, playing with her thumbs. So, Shinsuke Nakamura made his return yesterday. Very, very cool to see Shinsuke Nakamura return. And he took on Madcap Moss. Some people say, oh, heel turn coming. No, heel turn already here. Madcap Moss getting the cheerleader, you know, treatment from Emma. You know, you're better than this. You deserve this, blah, 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 this, this, and that. And Madcap Moss loses to Shinsuke Nakamura upon his return. Emma is going to start slapping some sense into Madcap Moss, and Madcap Moss is going to take it out on somebody. You know, may take it out on, you know, one of the top baby faces on SmackDown, but Madcap Moss right now, unfortunately, you know, doing the favors, and Shinsuke looked great on his return. You know, Shinsuke hasn't been on WWE TV since November. He had the match against Muda not too long ago. And his first feud, believe it or not, is going to be with Karrion Kross. Yesterday, Karrion Kross was shown on the monitor with Scarlett. Scarlett had her tarot cards, and she had one that had Shinsuke Nakamura on it. And then shortly after, Karrion Kross went on Twitter and posted this. You know, yes, they do train. They do train together. And just look at their outfit and you understand why they're going to be feuding. This is going to be very, very physical. Is it going to be Gunther, Sheamus, Drew McIntyre physical? No, not to that level. But those two are going to put on, you know, and yeah, Shinsuke with his charisma, you know, you're going to keep that as well. But they're going to gel a lot better than you think. I know a lot of people were a little bit surprised, like, why? Oh, when you see them in the ring, work together. Just like Santos Escobar. You know, Santos Escobar, when he was in Lucha Underground, you know, you think of Ricochet and you think of others. You know, a lot of these guys worked against each other in Lucha Underground, and some of the matches that they had, even Cross. Look at some of the matches Cross had in Lucha Underground, and it kind of surprises you who he actually could gel with. So, you know, we'll see what happens with the feud. The only thing is we got a draft coming up. And, you know, they did not announce this match for next week. So does it happen on draft night? Possibly. You know, are they going to – what happens if one of them gets drafted to Raw? You know, and then what are they going to still do the match? So I personally think that that match will happen probably on draft night. And or if it's not, then I think Cross and Shinsuke will remain on the same brand. Be really interesting if they move Scarlett to a different brand. Yesterday also, we had the match that, listen, when Matt Riddle was making his return, which was delayed, obviously, you know, we always said from day one that the end game was for him to try to get his revenge on Solo Sikoa, because Solo Sikoa is the one that took him out originally. Yesterday on SmackDown, that was the main event. And this is still planting the seeds for a six-man tag at Backlash. Okay, yesterday, the Usos were in the corner of Solo Sikoa. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn were in the corner of Matt Riddle. You know, early on, playing a little bit of teasing that the Usos are trying to tease that eventually KO is going to turn on Sammy. Just like Sammy and KO are predicting the same with the Bloodline. And you look closely. You know, yesterday, Paul Heyman, you know, really trying to rah-rah and psych up and pump up Solo Sikoa. And he's bringing up the family. He's bringing up, you know, and he's all his Samoan stuff. And Solo Sikoa, if when you listen to Paul Heyman doing that speech in the locker room, you got to keep your eyes solely on Solo. Solely on Solo. And he's wrapping the tape. And certain things that Paul is saying, he's like, and he starts rapping it again. And he's doing, getting the spike right. And then he finally, like, stops Paul and he says, tell the tribal chief, I got this. And in the end, he did. He took care of business. He ended up defeating Matt Riddle. Now, there was a lot of fuckery at ringside and, you know, to plant the seeds for the six-man tag at Backlash, you know, the Usos were getting involved. They started brawling with Zayn and Owens. They all get ejected from ringside. So we go back to the match, and then a few minutes later, here come the Usos coming from the crowd. So Sammy and Kevin Owens, they're going down the rampway, and here they are again. And the referee ejected them, and they come back anyway. And, yeah, they could have just called it a no contest at that point, but they didn't. And then distractions led to the Samoan spike, and Solo Sikoa beats Matt Riddle. What old is new again, or what new is old again, because Matt Riddle used to eat a lot of pins with this feud. I think people seem to forget it. And then afterwards, Solo was supposed to put Matt Riddle through a table, but the table didn't break. Matt flops over the table and Solo turns it sideways. Matt Riddle selling, you know, an arm injury out of it, and Zayn and Owens are tending to him. This, again, is going to lead to a six-man tag, probably a Backlash. Could they hold it off until the Saudi Arabia event? Yeah, but I don't see that. It's too far away. I see it probably a Backlash. You know, the funny thing is, if you look closely on social media, too many people are interpreting that because Backlash is in Puerto Rico, that everybody on the card has to be Latino. or Latina. No, that's not the case at all. I mean, obviously, you're going to have a little bit more of a Latino showing on the card. Yeah, absolutely. Know your demos. But no, you're going to have these major players on there as well. And this obviously will – look, Matt Riddle will probably cost the Usos winning the tag titles in 2 weeks at the draft. And that will lead to the six-man at Backlash. That's probably where this is going to go. By the way, this Monday, we are going to do that big Matt Riddle giveaway. Now, box is a little bit too far away from me, so I can't show it to you now. But remember, autographed Matt Riddle bro hat, autographed Matt Riddle WWE rookie card, and it's graded, and autographed photo. Somebody's going to win all three. Because we said when Matt Riddle returns, we're going to do a little giveaway, and you could give props to Matt Riddle for that stuff. So very, very cool. By the way, you know, I don't want to go off topic, but Neil just said, rest in peace, Umaga. And absolutely. I mean, Umaga is the fucking man. Speaking of deceased, the last 24 hours, I watched the A&E biography of Yokozuna and the A&E biography of Dusty Rhodes. The Yokozuna one, I liked, but my only problem with it is the way it started, I felt like maybe like 10 minutes of it was chopped off or something. It just, I don't know, it just felt like it was rushed. I know they had to fit it within an hour with commercials and everything, but the beginning just felt like it was in progress. You know, you ever like tune into like a baseball game or a basketball game or even a football game ends late and it overruns from like a TV show or something that was supposed to air at a certain time. Let's say the football game or the baseball game was supposed to end at 7 p.m. and instead it ends at like 7:15. And a lot of TV stations, oh, we now present to you the Big Bang Theory in progress. That's what it felt like when I was watching this Yokozuna documentary. It felt like it was in progress. But the Dusty one, listen, I know 2 weeks ago I brought up that brainstorm I had while I was sleeping about this is Cody is doing Dusty. Maybe not as good as Dusty, but this is the chase right now. This is the chase. This is the struggle. This is Cody is doing Dusty. And when I did the show with Kev on Tuesday, he had already seen the Dusty documentary. And Kev said, for everyone out there, look out for little Easter eggs. Not QR codes where or a bunny or something like that with a Bray Wyatt type thing like where, oh, you see something on the map and you Google it like, oh, wait, that's where Cody's going to do. No, you got to pay attention to some of the things that are said. And some of the things and how it's presented and how it's worded. And as you watch that, you keep that in the back of your mind. And when you see things go down on WWE television in the year 2023, there are very many similarities. And right now, when you talk about the chase with Dusty Rhodes, this is Dusty and the chase all over again. And Roman Reigns is Ric Flair, and the Usos and Solo are the Horsemen. You know, and we talked about the others, about Sammy being like Sting and others. You know, we're just saying, you know, are they copying that to a T? No. Some people brought up Sting and Flair, that there's aspects from that too. Yeah. You take a little bit from different things, ingredients. And you put it together and you put a spin on it. And so you don't have to say, this is Dusty 1982. No, it might be a little bit from 81, a little from 84, a little bit that he did with Harley Race, a little bit to here. So when you watch it, you really understand more why, you know, you do Dusty without mentioning Dusty. You know, it's funny when they say on TV, even when Cody cut his promo and said, look, you know, I'm fine with not bringing up Dusty. That's because there's a lot of young wrestling fans that did not grow up on Dusty. That even though there's specials, even though there's tributes, even though there's statues, even though there's tons of footage online, they're still not going to tune into all of it. So they want to focus on 2023. for the old school fans, for those that might be older like me, for those who do watch history that may be Dusty Rhodes fans, even if you didn't grow up in that era. You know, you see these things, you don't have to be told it. See, not everything needs to be told to you. You see it, you feel it, and you know it. And this is obviously, and that was very strategic that they put that documentary on a week after WrestleMania. And you look at everything together, and it's the chase. It's the chase. I want to give a shout out to Franz Gaggiano, who just became a VIP channel member, elite channel member. Welcome. Austin Nance, I know, is celebrating an anniversary. I think he's like 26 months here. Much love. Neil Ray, celebrating 25 months as a channel member here. What do I think about the buyout? Will it benefit? It's not a buyout. It's a merger. You know, Kevin and I talked about this again on Tuesday. You know, look at the tax benefit involved in this merger with Endeavor and WWE. You know, putting this together as a new corporation. Merging and forming a new corporation is much different than a sale. If you Google taxes with this deal, you'll see what the difference is and what is not subject to tax. Nobody talks about it because it's boring. Nobody wants to pull that side of it. Finance people pull that side to it. I pull it because I'm intrigued by it. But when people say sale, buyout, sale, buyout, sale, buyout, that's technically not really the correct term, or it's a very, very incomplete term. I personally think that in the end, Endeavor is going to tell Vince, Triple H, Nick Khan, keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing what you're doing. But do understand that now Vince truly does have to answer to a higher power. The higher power is, it was me, Austin. It was me all along. No, it's going to be Ari Emanuel. It was me. And do you like my flywheel? Anybody knows why I said that? Props. It was me, Vince. Check out my flywheel. It was me, Vince. Again, my friends, I'm going to be a little bit more watered down because I offended some people the other day, but I'll be more watered down about this going forward. Understand when you see everybody venting online about Vince being in power and Vince taking back creative and Vince fucking things up and Vince this and that. Understand all these people complaining, you know, wanting to petition, not buy the shows, not attend the shows, you know, go black and this and that. Notice the one thing that they're missing. They're not going to management. May I speak to your boss, please? I would like a supervisor. Let me speak to your manager. That's what people usually do. Endeavor is the boss now. Endeavor, when they do the board of directors, there's going to be 11 members on the board of directors. You're not going to have a WWE board of directors and an Endeavor board of directors. And they have separate board of directors. And then WWE's in their offices meeting with their board of directors. Well, this sucks. No, they're going to be in the meetings together. WWE, World Wrestling Entertainment Incorporated, is going to be done. There will be no more World Wrestling Entertainment Incorporated. It will be under stock market, under the banner TKO. There's a new corporation. The board of directors is going to be 11 people. WWE gets to choose 5. Endeavor gets to choose 6. Did anybody ever stop to think that WWE could choose somebody that is part of Endeavor? It's not about, oh, we got to put our 5 wrestling people in there. No, that's something that you and I would think. They're going to put the best people in there possible. And we'll see. But look at the WWE board of directors when Vince stepped down last year. One board of the director was from some NBA group. One was from some TV conglomerate. They weren't WWE. They weren't all Michelle Barrios and George Wilson and, you know, this person. No, you had outside people. One of them was doing everything possible to prevent Vince from coming back, and he resigned. Remember the two board of directors that resigned? They resigned because they couldn't stop Vince from coming back. No matter how much bullshit they fed online and no matter how much they paid investigators, you know, when you hear that WWE paid $12, $17 million to have Vince investigated, just think about that for a minute. $17 million. You know, like, what did they do? I think about, they were paying lawyers that get thousands of dollars an hour. And these were the board of directors that were spending that kind of money. Whatever it takes, whatever the cost, we gotta nail him to the cross. They failed. They stepped down. So when WWE announces their members of the board, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're all WWE people. So keep that in mind. But at the end of the day, you know, WWE has to answer to Endeavor. So I say it again online. If people want to complain, you got to complain to Endeavor. And a lot of people will not do that because they feel that Endeavor will laugh at them. Look at the leader of UFC, Dana White. You go on social media and complain to Dana White about Vince McMahon. Let's see what kind of response you get. You probably get ignored, but wouldn't he be the type that would say, hey, why don't you come down to one of our slap nut parties? You know, why don't you come down? And like, I know they wouldn't physically threat, but these are the people that would tell you, go fuck yourself. And again, WWE might become TV 14. Nobody's talking about it. Remember, they're no longer answering to World Wrestling Entertainment Incorporated. All of the advertisers and everything now are answering to Endeavor. So Endeavor is UFC. Endeavor is slap chest or whatever that shit is, slap face, slap fight. You know, UFC doesn't put on cartoons. I love you. I slap you. You slap me. We slap each. You know, like, they're all adult programming. So we might end up getting a TV 14 back for WWE because of the people that own it. This isn't, you know, Nickelodeon that bought or merging with WWE. See, now you got me saying bye. So got to keep that in mind. It's a big deal. That's why when you say about the future, I don't know. I think everything will be fine. I think everything will be similar as before. But again, when you see people with the Vince complaints, you know, just take notice that they never complain to Endeavor. Because Endeavor is the one that put Vince in that executive chairman role. That was Ari Emanuel, whatever his name is. Ari. He's the one that put Vince in that role. Vince didn't just, I'm back. Don't like it? Leave. No, that's not what happened. Ari told him, I insist. I want you still in the company. You brought it to where it is. So everybody should be ripping the crap out of Ari. Nobody's doing it. So, all right. Rampage yesterday had Aussie Open retaining the IWGP tag titles over Best Friends. Mark Briscoe, Jay Lethal, Jeff Jarrett, and Satnam Singh, yes, they are an alliance now. They beat the Spanish Announce Project. Not the Spanish Announce team, Jose and Joel Maximo. It's the Spanish Announce Project. Taya Valkyrie over Emi Sakura. Jungle Boy over Shawn Spears. I know next week, I think they're having El Hijo del Vikingo defend Triple A championship on Rampage. We have next Wednesday to talk about that. We have a whole week to hype that up. Little tidbit. I think you'll find this interesting. We'll talk about ratings on Monday, but I want to give you one right now. AEW's had a horrible trend the last 3 weeks. We took notice of it. Everyone else ignored it. And that is that for some reason, the main events on Dynamite are not clicking with the fans. You're seeing 100,000 plus viewers leave for main events. These are TV viewers. These are not people in the building, you know, honey, let's go to the parking lot. Let's get a head start because this place is going to be fucking impossible to leave. Let's leave. It's like a baseball game. How many of you that went to a baseball game would leave in the eighth inning? Seriously. Even especially if it was a blowout. Honey, let's leave in the eighth inning. Let's get on it. But, Dad, I want to see the rest of the game. Ah, fuck you. We're going to get stuck in traffic. And then you're going to be stuck in traffic. You're going to be in a parking lot in the line. Now you got to pee. I got to pee. You know? So, no, these are TV viewers that for some reason at 9:45 p.m. change the channel. 2 weeks ago, FTR took on the Guns. I know, Guns, titles, most of us didn't agree with it, fine. But that night, one of two things were happening. Either FTR were going to become AEW tag champs, which is what many of us always wanted, again, or FTR was leaving AEW. Whichever the outcome, it's a big one. The big one! And it ended up being the lowest rating content of the entire Dynamite episode. The lowest part of Dynamite. Their rating for that match was the lowest of the entire night. Dropped about 100,000 viewers leading into it. Why is that? How do you have fans watching AEW decide, oh, FTR, they're either going to become champs or they're done. I'm not going to watch. I mean, inexcusable. The week prior, Adam Cole, first match back in what, 7 months? You know, most of us are big fans of Adam Cole. You know, horrible what happened to him, dealing with the concussions. You hear little drips and drabs, how difficult it was for him to return. He's finally returning. They announce the week before that he is going to take on Daniel Garcia in his first match back in 7 months. That match, which was the main event, was the lowest rated part of Dynamite. So now you have Adam Cole, lowest rated part of Dynamite. You have FTR winning the tag titles or leaving AEW, lowest rated part of Dynamite. So, this past Wednesday, the main event was Chris Jericho versus Keith Lee, which, you know me, I praised the shit out of them. I love that match. Made me feel like a kid for various reasons. Go check out the episode why. Very, very old school. But how did it do? It followed the same trend. Not only was it the lowest part of rating of the entire Dynamite, when the match first started and they were doing introductions, which actually bled into the quarter prior, they had 100,000 viewers turn the TV off. Think about that for a minute. You didn't have extra people tuning in waiting until the end to see the main event. You actually had 100,000 fans turn the match off. It was the lowest rating of the entire night. That's concerning. I mean, we're not talking, listen, if you want to say to me, I don't want to see Action Andretti. I don't want to see Commander. You know, I don't want to see, you're talking about Adam Cole, FTR, Chris Jericho, Keith Lee. And those guys have been the lowest ratings for their shows. That's pretty horrible. Friends, I don't know exactly what is on at that particular 9:45 hour, that time, but all I know is that at 9:30, you know, I don't think any TV shows start at 9:45 or 9:55. You know, whatever's on TV is on TV. And when you see that at the beginning of the hour, there's 900,000 viewers, and then you're at 9:30, and there's 900,000 viewers, and then you get to 9:45 and it's under 8. What? And. People blamed this week's low number. They're drawing toll-free numbers now. Last week they drew 877. This week they drew 866. I call them the toll-free numbers. AEW Dynamite's drawing toll-free numbers. People blamed it on NBA playoffs this week, or I don't remember what was on. Whatever was on. I don't know what was on this week, but they blamed it on sports. What about last week? What about the week before and the week before that? You know, 3 weeks in a row is the same thing. I kind of say no. So there. So we'll get into the full breakdown on Monday. All right. A couple other things, and we're going to jet out of here. This, I think, is a big deal. WWE changed the name of the Saudi Arabia event. Originally, it was King and Queen of the Ring. They have now changed it to Night of Champions. And honestly, if you think about it, very, very smart move on WWE's part. If you remember when we talked about the showcase matches at WrestleMania, we felt that whoever won those matches should get a tag team title shot. You had Ronda and Shayna win, and on the men's side, we had the Street Profits win. And the Street Profits did have a match with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn the night after WrestleMania, and they lost. I don't think the titles were on the line. But the point is, when we talked about King and Queen of the Ring, if you remember what I said, for example, I thought Gunther should win King of the Ring and then get a title shot. And if Cody was the champion at that time, he should get a title shot. Problem is, that discussion was before WrestleMania, and Roman Reigns is still the champion. So now that kind of puts things in a little bit of complication. So now the thing is, with Night of Champions, Roman Reigns hits 1,000 days as champion that day. I know some podcasters are only now realizing that. We've been talking about that for over a month. But by doing Night of Champions, it gives the aura, it gives the perception that everybody fighting is a champion. Not every match that night is going to be a championship match, everyone. I'd be shocked to shit. Not every match is going to be a championship. And they can't do that. Because Sami Zayn, perfect example. Sami Zayn isn't going to be in Saudi Arabia. So what do they do? Injury angle a week before? Maybe. Maybe something like that. Maybe Samoan Spike breaks his larynx. Sami Zayn will be out of action for 2 weeks. Or for 17 hours, if you know what I mean. So not every match is going to be a championship match, because if they end up doing that, then people are going to be like, why aren't the tag titles being defended? So you're going to have some matches on there that are not going to be for championships. I still think your King and Queen in a Ring finals will be on that card. I think we will see qualifying matches on Raw and SmackDown, and then you have the finals at Night of Champions. Because all you have to say is whoever, you know, wins earns a future title shot. Yeah, they're not champion at the moment, but if Gunther wins, think about it. Gunther is Intercontinental Champion. I know he's taking on Xavier Woods next week, but there's no way that Xavier Woods is going to be the one to dethrone Gunther, with all due respect. Gunther could be in King of the Ring, and he doesn't even have to defend his championship that night. And it's a Night of Champions, not a Night of Championship defenses. So Gunther could still represent as champion and not even defend his championship that night. So let's see what happens. Mike says that the Usos cannot travel to Saudi Arabia. I'm not so sure about that. You know, we all thought that the Usos still couldn't travel to Canada, and they did. You know, we don't know for sure. But obviously, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how you would use the Usos in Saudi Arabia if Sami Zayn is not going to be there. So changing it to Night of Champions makes it feel more important. King and Queen of the Ring, with all due respect, everyone, remember the last Queen of the Ring? Remember how we joked about it? You know, I mean, but it was true. WWE asked Saudi Arabia, who do you want as Queen of the Ring? And I don't know who was the final say. I don't know if it was the Crown Prince. I don't know who it was. But they looked at the photos of all the participants. And I'm not going to say anything negative about some of the women that were involved in that tournament, but they looked, oh, Queen Zelina. Oh, Queen Zelina. And that's what happened. Zelina became Queen of the Ring. You know, you look back on it, you know, the tournaments were kind of uneventful. They were not very, very strong. So now you bring back King and Queen of the Ring. We don't even know who the participants are yet. So it doesn't really catch you. But when you say Night of Champions, now for the fans in Saudi Arabia, oh, who's a champion right now? Gunther, Roman Reigns. You know, Cody might get a title shot. You know, you start looking at that, Rhea Ripley, Bianca Belair. Now you start looking at all the champions. Now you know, oh, we're getting Roman Reigns. We're getting Rhea Ripley. We're getting this. And who knows? You might get Trish versus Becky or Trish versus Lita. I mean, Lita got the Saudi Arabia payday. You think Trish Stratus should get it as well. So you probably get Trish on that card too. So, you know, Night of Champions, I like that 1,000 times more. And you could still do King and Queen of the Ring finals there, but it's not the focal point. You have champions defending championships. You have tournaments crowning new number one contenders for championships. And like I said, even in the case of Gunther, you could have Gunther win it and not even have to defend his championship, but the perception that that's another champion there, it's a big deal. So I am definitely in favor of the name change. Night of Champions. Night of Champions just sounds better. It just feels more important. King and Queen of the Ring, again, it wasn't bad, but you know, Queen Zelina. And I like Zelina. She earned it, no question. But understand, I think some people forget sometimes what this is with Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia pays WWE $50 million. For one event, per event. That's twice as much money that they made for WrestleMania. Just let that sit in for a minute. Think of all of the storyline build to WrestleMania. And as far as revenue at WrestleMania, Saudi Arabia in one night is twice the amount of money. So what Saudi wants, Saudi gets, but they get it in a way that WWE works around it. Like, Saudi Arabia is not going to say, we want Mansoor to beat Roman Reigns. Mansoor, WWE champion. No, they're not going to do that. They're not going to tell them to, but they're going to say, oh, we want the title. We want a little nostalgia. Give us Trish Stratus. We want Trish. We give $1 million. That's how the game plays a little bit. So Saudi Arabia, when you understand that the amount of money WWE makes is twice the amount of WrestleMania, and you look at the stock market and how they reacted to WrestleMania, yeah, and for a lot of people, this is blood money. I get it. I get it. But for some of those wrestlers, that's beyond a year's worth of pay, especially if it's somebody who's been out of the game for a while, gets an opportunity to return, gets that kind of money. I know, you know, it's morals-wise, it's kind of like, eh, but it is what it is. So when you understand that kind of money, that's why I don't understand. I don't know if Cody's going to take on Roman in Saudi Arabia. But when we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, and that 1,000th day, hitting 1,000, exactly 1,000, and you understand $50 million, SummerSlam's already selling an insane amount of tickets. You don't need Cody to win the championship at SummerSlam to sell out SummerSlam. You understand what I'm saying? So do not discount the possibility of Cody winning at Saudi Arabia. And everybody and their mother seems to be doing that. Do not discount some of the matches that people are rumoring for SummerSlam happening in Saudi Arabia. I think some people do that because they don't want to put any attention to Saudi Arabia because they don't like Saudi Arabia. And I get that. But, you know, when you understand and you remind yourself the magnitude of the revenue here, they're not going to say, oh, let's put the Street Profits versus Braun Strowman. Yeah, give us Street Profits versus Braun Strowman. Give us, you know, they want Braun. Brock is going to be there. Omos is going to be there. We're going to have some giants battling. Absolutely, Brock is going to be there. You know he is. So what is Brock going to be doing? Could we possibly get Brock versus Cody to rematch? I don't know. But it, you know that they're going to go balls out for this. So something to keep in the back of your mind. But I'm definitely in favor of the Night of Champions. It just feels more important. And then you add Saudi's influence with it. Really good. As a wrestling fan, morals-wise, you know, a little different. All right, I want to just finish up quickly with just one thing. I'm just going to say it in simple English. Pulling out my notes. Fightful reported that CM Punk is returning to AEW. And it'll happen in the summertime. Some people believe it'll happen at the June event in Chicago. Kind of makes sense, I would think. And with them going to Wembley, I don't think anybody would accept anything less than either CM Punk and FTR versus the Elite, or CM Punk versus Kenny Omega, or CM Punk versus Chris Jericho. I personally don't think Chris Jericho versus Punk would be the ideal way to go. But I think at the end, you know, and here's the fascinating thing about it. If FTR are still the tag champs at the time, they don't even have to defend their tag titles that night, which you think about it, that in itself is pretty cool. But something that I have been saying for a couple of years now, and I know I'm not the only one out there, but I truly believe that I'm, if not the first, one of the first. And I don't even think that's disputed, because everybody else and their mother out there would not call out a lot of things that were wrong with AEW. Remember when I used to say sloppy shop, you know, bad storylines, and, you know, trying to blurred lines versus sloppy shop, and they would try to blur the lines in the back and try to, like, take drama, real-life drama, and turn it into storylines and this and that. We talked about it with Sammy Guevara, with Eddie Kingston. We talked about it with Guevara and Andrade. So the thing is, something we noticed early on, what we noticed is that when fans would start complaining about something particular in AEW, especially if it was someone not being utilized, and it was someone that the EVPs and the elite media did not like, there was always a quick comeback with some news story to shoot down that person. We brought up Miro as a great example of it. You know, what the fuck? Why aren't they using him? Didima, why aren't they using him? He's home. He's ready. And then within 24 hours, oh, Miro was offered to be in a battle royal and he refused the job to Adam Hangman Page and this and that. And then everybody, oh, well, fuck him then. And then a little bit later on, oh, you know, the ship Andrade, oh, you know, he threatened to walk out and this and that. And there's always a comeback. And with the CM Punk stuff, and again, I will always appreciate Dave Meltzer. I'll always be a fan of his. I will always subscribe. He did a lot good for me back in the day for things that I was trying to do, you know, worthy causes. But now I feel like I'm watching Looney Tunes. And that's why I made this banner earlier. And that's why I removed Kenny Omega from there and I put Dave Meltzer and Brian Alvarez instead. I made those cartoon things myself. All right. Dave Meltzer, I think, is turning into Looney Tunes. And I'll tell you why. One month ago, there was reports that they're trying to work out to bring back AEW. Dave goes into a message board and basically brings up Moxley and brings up that, you know, CM Punk, I think, threatened legal action and not this and that. And then CM Punk replies, not a lot of wrestlers reply. You know, if you notice that, you could make claims about Vince and Triple H and certain people, and they will never fucking reply. And that's why people make these wacky claims. They don't have to worry about waking up the next day, wow, why am I trending? Oh, because Triple H responded to your tweet, called you a fucking liar. That never happened. So you could say whatever you want. You could say anything. So with Dave Meltzer, CM Punk responded and called him a liar. And then we covered it. Dave Meltzer goes on his podcast a week later and is apologizing. And he felt awful that at the end of the day, he wants to see AEW do well. He wants to see WWE do well, that he feels awful because he feels whatever that was trying to be mended, you know, that this might have, you know, ruined everything. Okay, you feel guilty. You feel awful. Well, now this week, This week, Fightful reports that CM Punk is returning to AEW, and it's going to be in the summertime, and it could happen in June in Chicago. So what do we get right now on YouTube? Brian Alvarez yesterday posted a clip of him talking about CM Punk's return, and the title of the clip is, CM Punk wants to work with the Elite. The feeling doesn't seem mutual. And I decided to watch the video to see what the fuck he's talking about. And he's bringing up, I got kids. And if one of my kids got punched in the face by another kid, there's no way that my... Oh, I mean, that's his basis. Personal emotion. People in wrestling fight. People in wrestling have, you know, skirmishes. People in wrestling do argue. Blurred lines versus sloppy shop, you think about. And sometimes for the betterment of the company, and because you're a grown adult, I have argued with my brother. I've argued with friends. You know, somebody, listen, you're drinking too much. Don't fucking tell me what to do. Listen, you're drinking too much. You can't drive. Don't tell me what to do. I take the keys, punch in the face. Next day, sorry, bro. You know, I mean, these are grown adults. This guy is basing it on, well, if my kid got punched in the mouth by another kid, there's no way that my kids are, you know. Again, a month ago, Dave Meltzer is apologizing. And Brian Alvarez is like, I don't want nothing to do with this. Leave me out of it. And then that's the title on YouTube right now. Go see if I'm making it up. There's more. Now we get to The Observer. This is what The Observer writes. As reported here in the past 2 weeks, a Punk return is largely expected. It's a tenuous situation because the dressing room issues involving him have not been settled at press time. Once again, pushing the narrative, divided locker room. These guys, the EVPs, the foundation of AEW, from the EVPs to Guevara to Tony Khan to Cutler and everyone, and I'm not throwing shade on them, I'm making a point. Their mindset is not going to suddenly change and have breaking bread and kumbaya and having dinner with CM Punk. Their mindset of what AEW should be and how it should be and this, and that, that's not changing. The foundation, when CM Punk returns, those elite EVPs are still going to leak the crumbs to the media pigeons. Nothing changed. What do you think changed? I'm going to say something that's really messed up, but I'm going to say it anyway. The only time that we felt that Tony Khan may have kind of changed his attitude a little bit is when his mom got sick. And he did that press conference, and he's like, you know, what happened to my mom, it really makes you, you know, put things in perspective. It makes you think, you know, you got to appreciate things a little more. And I was like, wow, you know, it sucks. It sucks to have, you know, any family tragedies or anything like that. But sometimes real life puts in perspective. It happened to me. two cancer scares, having some health problems and other things, it puts things in perspective that, hey, I don't want to be that, you know, yelling, screaming, cursing, piss in the wind, complain about everything. I try to laugh. I try to have fun. You know, that changed me in a lot of ways. But what AEW's been, how the EVPs have handled your Miros, your Andrades, your CM Punks, feeding the crumbs, posting this, posting that, things about Thunder Rosa, that three of Thunder Rosa's friends have been jobbed out on the women's side. Remember all that stuff? That's not changing. CM Punk is coming back to a company that's not changed. So instead of just, hey, you know, everybody wants to work together for the betterment of the company, a month later after this apology, oh, the locker room has not been set. What is CM Punk supposed to do? Please, everybody, I fucked up. I love AEW. Look, I tattooed it on the opposite side of my neck. I didn't want to copy Cody. Like, what is he supposed to do? He has a locker room meeting with people that, as soon as he leaves, spit on the floor? What is that? Gets worse. Gets worse. This is bizarre. I will never do a show again if this happens. There is a plan for CM Punk to meet with Kenny Omega, Young Bucks, Chris Jericho, and others. But if it doesn't happen, or if it doesn't go well, Dave Meltzer writes that Tony Khan is considering, get this word, partitioning Punk. You ever partition your hard drive? You have a C drive and a D drive, and you're going to split it up and you're going to add the F drive. They're thinking CM Punk, the computer. Tony Khan is considering that since they're going to be debuting a Saturday show down the line, that CM Punk will only be on the Saturday show and part of the locker room will only be part of the Saturday show. And there would be split crews. I feel like we're dealing with drug addicts. Oh, I'm going to clean up my ways. I'm going to clean up my ways. I fucked up. You know, listen, I know I shouldn't have done it. I shouldn't this. I'm sorry. And I know I hurt people in the process. I promise you this time, you know, I'm going to learn from it. And a fucking month later, you're giving this idea that if things don't go well, of course it's not going to go well. Chris Jericho just fucking posted this. Some Twitter account, the PWW, said, Chris Jericho, correct me if I'm wrong, but you've always been willing to work with everyone, and you always do what's best for business. People are foolish to think otherwise. And this person included a picture of CM Punk and Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho's response? Not everyone. Not everyone. There are people that don't like CM Punk. CM Punk, the way he does business, the way he opens his mouth. CM Punk ain't changing. AEW ain't changing. The EVPs aren't changing. The foundation isn't changing. The mindset isn't changing. All that's happening is that people are getting together to make money and try to grow AEW. And they don't like each other. Look, The Rock and Shawn Michaels, they worked in the same locker room. They didn't get along. You have a lot of wrestlers that do that. But here, you got these reporters. It's like drug addicts. A month ago, I fucked up. I feel awful. I fucked up. You know, I just want everybody. Well, then stop fucking pushing a narrative that there's split locker rooms and Punk will only be on Saturday nights and this and that. Nothing has changed, everyone. Nothing has changed. So understand, even some of the twisted media out there. I know we got Twisted Iced Tea. This is the twisted media. All those people that were spitting on CM Punk leading out, now epic, amazing, unbelievable, selling 90,000 seats. Oh my God, FTR, and that's what's best for business and that. I guarantee you, for those bigger names out there, CM Punk has a list of names of the people who stabbed him in the fucking back and said a whole bunch of shit and made a lot of money off of trashing him for the last 6 months. And now everything is epic, amazing, unbelievable. Let's do it for the betterment of AEW. And the thing is that I don't understand why Meltzer couldn't just report, hey, Fightful reports that CM Punk could return in June in Chicago. And the idea now is that it could lead to the Elite versus FTR and CM Punk at Wembley Stadium. That's what fans want to hear. Not this shit that, you know, CM Punk wants to work with the Elite. The feeling doesn't seem mutual. Nobody learned nothing, everyone. At the end of the day, what happened at that media scrum and the mindset in AEW, the mindset of CM Punk, the mindset of everybody involved, nothing has changed. Even if they have a meeting, the meeting is going to be, let's do this for the fans, let's do this for AEW, let's do it to have the company grow, and that's it. You know, you might have some optics, photo optics, to make it appear that everything is good. It's like in-laws. You know, like you visit your in-laws. I mean, I get along with my in-laws, but some of you out there probably hate your in-laws. You see TV shows, it's notorious that people hate their in-laws. But, you know, you have a holiday picture and everybody's like, and then, you know, you look at the picture like, oh, everybody's getting along. But meanwhile, behind the scenes, it's the complete opposite. All I know is that if you want to enjoy what's going on leading into Wembley Stadium, you got to stay away from some of these people in the media, because all they're going to do is divide, divide, divide. And then the funny thing is that some of these media guys can't accept the fact that somebody else breaks a story. But once again, like clockwork, just like we said with Miro a couple of years ago, and Andrade, and CM Punk, and Thunder Rosa, and Dax Harwood. Remember Dax Harwood, Public Enemy? Remember the thumbnail? They did it again with CM Punk. The minute it reports, Fightful reports that CM Punk's coming back, and he's going to meet with some people, right back there's a response. Well, the Elite doesn't want to work with him. And Chris Jericho is part of it. So, all right. Let's answer some super shout-outs, if you don't mind, and then I'm going to call it for today. Sticky Fingers Frank, who is that next to Meltzer in my thumbnail? Oh, that is Dave Meltzer, and that's Brian Alvarez. So, yeah. And, if you look all the way in the far right, yes, I did take that from Cornette's thumbnails. That is Tony Khan's eyeball. It's a little Easter egg thing. But you want to know something? For the audio download, check this out. I put Jericho there in its place. That's the best I could do with Jericho. I decided to take Brian Alvarez off. I put Jericho instead. That's supposed to be Chris Jericho. Hey, I'm not the greatest with cartoons, but yeah, I try to play around with the thumbnails, get a little creative with it. But yeah, but thank you, Mr. Sticky Fingers, for the 5 spot. Much love. Chris Cutra with a 20 spot. Thank you, my friend. AEW doing some kind of brand split because guys can't be around each other and need their own shows is embarrassing. If guys can't even be around someone, then they shouldn't be there at all. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Check this out. Somebody on Twitter, and it's a journalist, where's the comment? Oh, yeah. I don't remember who it was, but it's a legit journalist. This person wrote this, that I didn't hear Dave Meltzer say this, but a few people reported that Dave Meltzer said this, and I'm trying to find the clip, and if I find it, I'll share it with you Wednesday. But Dave Meltzer also said that FTR and CM Punk are doing this not to even get a match with the Elite, but to try to make them look bad and get rid of them. That's asinine. I mean, as much as you may not like the EVPs and how they give crumbs to those media journalists to just stir up shit, they are very, very important behind the scenes. FTR is not going to suddenly be working in the back. You know, Kenny Omega, and I said it even before, even though I don't like Brandon Cutler, him, QT Marshall, and they do a lot behind the scenes that we never see. They do a lot. And that should be acknowledged. and they definitely deserve, you know, the money that they make. The TV stuff, okay, a little less to be desired for me. But I understand how important they are. And believe me when I tell you, you know, Kenny Omega, Tony Khan's going to break the goddamn bank to keep him in that company. I really cannot see Kenny Omega going to WWE. I don't. Even without this Endeavor deal. If Endeavor never came into the picture and they pulled sale ideas off the table, I still don't think Kenny Omega would have ended up in WWE. It would have been cool. Maybe it happens a couple of years from now, but Tony Khan, those people are too important. But no, Chris, they ain't splitting locker rooms. Just think about that. That optic makes AEW look 10 times worse. They have to show that they are a family, a disgruntled family. And listen, believe me, I don't know who it'll be in AEW. Somebody will do an interview and make a remark like, look, every family has its skirmishes, has its, you know, quarrels. But at the end of the day, we're a family. We want AEW to succeed. We want to give the fans the best entertainment around. And that's why everybody is working together. We're just like an everyday family. You know, not everybody gets along all the time. It's not going to be cake and ice cream all the time. Somebody's going to throw that out there. But the optics of a divided, split locker room, I mean, talk about wrestlers who have no voice in AEW. Let me ask you an honest question. Let me ask Chris and everybody an honest question. Something for you to think about. And this will spell it out to you. Think of all the people in AEW that are this low on the food chain, that are on the side of CM Punk. Do you think in your right mind, if the locker rooms are split, that they are going to side with CM Punk and give the optics to the elite, the EVPs and Tony Khan, that they're not on the same side with them? Remember, we're talking about people who are low on the food chain that probably would never get this opportunity outside of AEW. And you mean to tell me that they would have balls enough to step up and say, yeah, I'm on the side with CM Punk and, you know, I'm not. No, they're going to do everything they possibly can to protect what they still have in AEW. And they would go on the side of. So the idea of a split locker room is so goddamn stupid that people are not going to put for morals. Put the morals and take the stand. I stand with Punk. I stand with the EVPs. They could do that with a storyline, but behind the scenes, nuts. I don't know what world some of these people live in, but I think the problem is that their personal world is starting to turn into a storyline. Seriously, I think some of these people in the journalistic world, when the cameras are off, when the computers are off, instead of like, hey, honey, give me a beer. You want to go for Chinese food tonight? Hey, I got to clean the yard. I think it's more like, why did you say what you said? Did you really mean what you said by that? And I think we need to have a discussion. Like, they're trying to live their personal lives like it's a fucking storyline also. And they think that the world operates like a storyline. These people are stupid, man. Not you, but you know what I'm talking about. Thank you, Chris. Thank you for the 20 spot. Much appreciated. Stephen Major with a 10 spot. Thank you, Stephen. Hey, DT. Just wanted to show some love. I sound like King Kai from Dragon Ball. Some people have said that. Cobra Kai. When I make that funny noise, listen when I get a chance. You understand what I mean? Yeah, people used to say, what did I used to say? Yakika? I can't remember, but I used to do something. People like, oh, that's Cobra Kai. Yeah. People say I sound like Cobra Kai. They say I sound like Paul Heyman. They say I sound like different people. It's not intentional. And when somebody said Cobra Kai years ago, I didn't even know what that was. I actually had to look it up. It was Dragon Ball Z, right? Something like Dragon Ball Z. But I'll look it up again. I got to go back and I got to watch that again. And yeah, what was it? I got to look it up. Maybe Wednesday. Oh, you know, maybe Monday I'll do it. Actually, you know, maybe tomorrow in the sit down. because I could be a little bit goofier on a sit-down. We are doing a sit-down episode tomorrow, everyone. There you go, 8.05 p.m. So if you don't know the format, just check the thumbnail, and it's going to be a fun show. Much love. Thank you, Steven. Steve Joseph with a two-spot. Will Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens go to Saudi Arba? Maybe Saudi Arba? Arby's? No, Saudi Arabia? Nah, I don't think so. Kevin Owens is not going to go without Sami Zayn. And Sami Zayn, I don't see going. I mean, you know, I know there's progress in Saudi Arabia, but there's still some horrible atrocities. And, you know, I don't think anybody and their mother should blame it. Look, they're going to do probably an injury angle. Solo Sikoa probably go on a Samoan spike orgy. And he's just going to spike KO. He's going to spike Zayn. He's going to spike their ass. He's going to thumb them in the eyes. You know, he's going to thumb in the throat. He'd be like this. And he's going to thumb the eyes. Be like this. And like, it's going to be like one of those big, what was those monkeys? And they're like, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens are going to get the shit knocked out of them. Maybe the Viking Raiders will take them out. I'm not kidding. The Viking Raiders might end up squashing Owens and Zayn like right before they go to Saudi Arabia. Seriously. You watch. They're not going to Saudi Arabia. Listen, even if they did, could you imagine the backlash amongst everybody who agrees with Sami Zayn as to why he doesn't go? I don't think you change that even if you are tag champs. And trust me, you know, Saudi Arabia has always been a discussion when it comes to certain people who don't want to go. And I hope we don't get stupid news reports that WWE is considering taking the titles off of Zayn and Owens because of their refusal to go to Saudi Arabia. Trust me, some idiot, there's speculation. That's what they'll do. There's speculation that WWE is not happy that Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens will not be able to go to Night of Champions. What is Night of Champions without the unified WWE Tag Team Champions? Some idiot's going to write it. When you see it, offer them a prize. Give them like a ding-ding. And when they're like, why are you doing that? We'll know why. Well, no, what he did to Riddle last night is to set up the six-man, probably for backlash. That's why he did it. Listen, Riddle will get his revenge. Riddle will get his revenge probably in 2 weeks. And look, they might have done that yesterday. So Riddle doesn't wrestle next week. They might have to hold Riddle off of the ring until the week after. So, Roughman with the 249. Good to see myself and Kevin Castle back together again. Yeah, we're having fun. I mean, it was something that was thought about for a little while. You know, we didn't want to just get back. But it's been great. And the discussions have been strong. And one thing we both agreed upon was we weren't going to do shows just to do shows. If there's good discussion, if there's good topics needed, then we're going to get into them. That's why every episode that we've done so far, there's been a meaning behind it. And like I said earlier, I don't think we're doing anything this week. But next week, I think I'm going to ask him if he wants to do like a draft preview, where we give our predictions and who we think could use a jump to one of the other rosters. And remember, NXT not being advertised for this draft, but there is speculation. No, there is some legit discussion that's why they have not put some of the NXT stars as the Raw after Mania or the SmackDown after Mania, that drafting them on the draft would be a surprise, the surprise element of it. But, you know, we've talked about it before. Listen, even before Bron Breakker turned heel, the week before, we said that WWE was keeping some of those wrestlers in NXT a little bit longer to help with Carmelo Hayes now as champion and Indy Hartwell as champion. And that's not as strong as you think it is. And there's no rush to bring them to the main roster. The draft might be that segue of getting them on there. But now Bron Breakker is doing his heel work in NXT to test it. We talked about it on Wednesday. You know, Bron Breakker can't just show up on SmackDown with no history of being a heel. And, you know, as good as he is and the legendary family he's from, Bron Breakker was not an indie wrestler and did not do. This is uncharted waters in front of a live audience. So you're not going to just throw him into the wolves on Raw or SmackDown as a heel. And then if it doesn't work, it's like, what do you do now? So they keeping him in NXT so he could get comfortable with it and flow with it and see how it's working. And my God, in the last 10 days, beautiful. Beautiful what they've done with him. All right. Thank you, Rafman. Neil Wright, glad to see Kev and myself back together. Brings back great memories. Thank you for everything. Shout out. God bless to me and the fam. Thank you for that, Neil. You know, the one thing that's kind of sad, and I brought it up before, was, you know, and I talked to a few people privately about this. Kev knows what I'm about to say. You know, I've been doing this since 97, and Kev and I started doing some podcasting together, hotlines together, back in 04. And then we started doing podcasting like in 05. That's 18 years ago. And back in 05, you know, you had In Your Head, Meltzer was still doing stuff and some others, but you know, I used to call out every podcaster out there. I would rip everyone and this and that. You know, and I learned. I mean, I grew up and I learned, you know, you want people to tune into you because you're good, not because they're bad. But the thing was this. Back in 05, 06, we had no friends out there. We didn't know anyone. We had no friends. Our numbers shot to the top, and a lot of people hated us for it. A lot of people would not acknowledge us, would not mention our names, would not even act like we existed because they didn't want to lose their audience. They felt like, oh, you know, what do you listen to these guys for? These guys are just telling it like it is. So we did what we did. So now we come back together, and what we're finding is we're getting a lot of DMs and emails, and it's from wrestlers, and it's from Hall of Famers, and it's from people on TV, and it's from a couple of journalists. But no podcasters. None. Not one. And I know Kev works with Soup, so they plugged him. They didn't plug me. And I don't blame him. And I think this show, Drew Yari, plugged Kevin also. Not one. And we're getting DMs, and some people like, oh, you know, band's back together. Oh, keep doing it. Oh, great to see you guys. It's about time. And it's that. And it's cool to see people in wrestling that you know, used to tune into us as well. And what we noticed is that we didn't ask any podcasters to give us a plug. But over the last 18 years, we made friends with a lot of people. I have different friends than Kevin. Some we have mutual. Not one ever said, and we don't need it, but not one ever said, hey guys, the original podcast, the OGs, guys were doing this 18 years ago, like Opie and Anthony, they're back and they're doing some special episodes, you know, cool to see them back. Nothing. Zero. And I said to Kev, I said, you see what I'm seeing? He says, yeah. He says, it feels like 2005, 2006 all over again. And the thing is that we're not trying to steal anybody's viewers or listeners. In fact, anything we do is going to be audio only stuff. So we're not even trying to like do anything on YouTube. In fact, I've talked about it before. Going forward, my shows are going to be split. Half is audio only and half is going to be audio and video. YouTube will be a little bit less than what it was before. But the point is, we're blown away that all of these friends that we built over the years, like not even like a tweet like, hey guys, fucking awesome, you guys are doing shit again, it's good. But it was funny because for 3 years, a lot of these people like, oh, why did you break up? You should have never broke up. You guys, you know, you don't have to get along. You're better than that. Oh, why? And then you realize like, deep down inside, they were probably ecstatic, like, good, now we don't have to fucking compete with their numbers anymore. So, bottom line is, we're having fun. We're not trying to take anything away from anyone, you know, but we do see that in 2023, everybody is doing everything they possibly can to try to get somebody to tune in. You know, like I showed you earlier with the ridiculous, oh, ticket sales are awesome for, you know, am I lying? What I showed you earlier about the, I deleted already. you know, but, you know, people are doing this and it's cutthroat, but it's all right. We're having fun. And John Falsetta, as we close this out, thank you for the two spot. Thanks for always being a realist, Paisan. Yeah, it gets boring sometimes to tell the truth. I know. But look, at least when you leave this show, hopefully you have a little bit more brain cells. You know what I mean? Like, and we criticize things. I mean, I think I did a good share of criticizing today with what we talked about. But, you know, not going to overdo it just because it's the popular. I mean, I'm sure you've noticed it. And there's some people out there, like over the last 3 months, have decided to go 1,000% negative. I mean, just full-blown, they're doom and gloom. And I see, like, people getting animated, doing these shorts on Twitter and YouTube, complaining, doom and gloom, and the Vin stuff. And I'm like, man, if that's what you think is going to get you business, go for it, man. Go for it. Eric Williams, celebrating 10 months as a channel member. This is a great show, DT. Thank you, Eric. Hope you're doing well. Hope everybody is doing well. And I'm going to enjoy my weekend. So, one plug for tomorrow, if you want. 8:05 p.m. Eastern. Basically, I show up with nothing. I literally show up with nothing. And everybody who is live will tell me what we should talk about. So if you want to talk about rebellion, we will. If you want to talk a little bit more about any topics tonight, we will. Whatever you want to talk about, it doesn't even have to be about wrestling. Whatever you want to talk about, you got to be part of the live convo to be in on it. You know, sometimes people email me questions, hey, I got something for the sit down. And I say, listen, you know, the whole thing about the sit down is everybody who's live are the ones who set up the show. I don't want to start doing that because then you do it for one person, you got to do it for someone else. So if you're not doing nothing tomorrow night, 8:00, stop by for a little while. It's free. You know, we'll have some fun conversation. And Eric says he wants a cannoli. I've had a couple of too many cannolis over the last couple of months. I put on like 7 pounds since I got married. So now I'm getting back in the swing of things. So I'll have it off in about a month. But yeah, I got a little bit too lazy, a little too comfortable. But everyone, have a great rest of your weekend. And don't be a stranger. If you have any questions, comments, following the show, post it in the comment section. And I'm out of here. So be well, everybody. Take care. DonTony.com. Go check out all those audio episodes that we're doing. And the history show. History show this week was a pretty good one. Look at the photo synopsis. Look at the Jericho picture. I wanted to use that as my thumbnail, but that would have been controversial. I'll give you a little hint. It's a fan sign from WCW when Jericho was a heel. Jericho walked down the rampway, and this fan was right along the guardrail, right in Jericho's face, and Jericho's looking at the sign in disbelief. And the WCW cameras have it blasted, right? It's a homophobic sign. That's all I'm going to say. You look at it and you're like, wow, you know, the way it made Nitro and they were, Be well, everybody. Talk to you all soon.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.